क्लेशोऽधिकतरस्तेषाम् अव्यक्ता सक्तचेतसाम् अव्यक्ता हि गतिर्दुःखम् देहवद्भिरवाप्यते। Translation. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifest, the path of realization is full of tribulations. Worship of the unmanifest is exceedingly difficult for embodied souls. So he says, that if you are an embodied soul, we are all embodied souls, like we have a body. Now there may be some unembodied souls, some extremely elevated yogis residing in the Himalayas. If they choose, they can reveal themselves with the body to their disciples, or they just reside in a subtle body. But we are not such elevated yogis. With humbleness, we must accept that we all possess bodies. So all of us are habituated to forms. Wherever we have interacted in this world, there has been a form. Now in the spiritual side, if we tell our mind, meditate on the Supreme without a form, the mind will complain, how? I don't know how you just do it. Mind says, but I can't do it. I get bored. I'm unable to attach myself to the light. Give me something substantial on which I can repose myself. So Lord Krishna says, klesho. It's full of tribulations. And on the other hand, the worship of the personal form is easy. You have the enchanting form of Murli Manohar, Tribhangi Lal, bent in three places, Lord Krishna, and then he puts the flute on his lips and plays an enchanting melody, and he pulls the minds of everyone. That is why one of his devotees, Madhusudan Saraswati, from medieval times in India, he says, Maya-tha-pantha-pathi-bhi-marathya-digambara-kopi-tamal-neelah-vinyastha-hasto-pinitamba-bimbe-dhuta-sama-karshati-chitta-vittam. He says, look, if you want to enjoy material pleasures, if you want to go for movies in the Metroplex, and enjoy luxurious 7-course meals in 7-star hotels, then don't go to Vrindavan and see this Krishna. Why? I was a jnani. And a jnani like myself, Krishna stole my heart. And you people are already attached to the world. He'll have no problem stealing your hearts. So if you want to enjoy material luxuries and pleasures, then stay away from Krishna. He is expressing the natural way in which in bhakti you can provide to your mind the names, forms, virtues, pastimes, attributes of the Lord, and thereby dovetail it in the direction of the divine. Hence, the path of Gyan Yoga, the worship of the formless, is compared to walking on the edge of a sword. Gyan ke pantha kripan ki dhara. Kripaluji Maharaj used to say, there is no yogi in the world who is worshipping the formless and able to control the mind. With such authority, he is to say. Lord Krishna is saying that klesho dhikataraasteshaam, how difficult it is. So we are not such great yogis. Our lifespan is short. Our minds are disturbed. The environment is impure. And in this situation, it's better to take the easy, the simple path. Now, some people's philosophy is what is easy must be inferior. So they say it's below my status to do bhakti. But this is what the marketing people capitalize upon. You know, the same product in ordinary packing, they will give it at a lower price. And with special packing, they will charge more. People say, yeah, that price is below my status. I'll buy it at a higher price, even though the goods are the same. So, if you tell them that bhakti is easy, they say it must be inferior. In this case, Krishna has just told that it is the best. Now, when it is the best and also easier, then the issue is closed. Plus, in the path of bhakti, you get one thing that you don't get in the other paths. And that is grace. The jnani says, Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. So God says, all right then. If you are God, then you don't need my grace. You go ahead and do your sadhana. In the path of jnana, one is progressing merely by self-effort. And in the path of bhakti, the causelessly merciful Lord reciprocates the devotional efforts and supports the soul from inside and outside, and that is called yoga kshem. You know, the Life Insurance Corporation of India's slogan is yoga kshemam vahamyam. I always think, what yoga kshem will they maintain? The actual yoga kshem is being maintained by the Lord. So the example is given in the Nyay Darshan of Markat Marjar Kishore Nyay. Nyay is logic. The logic of the baby monkey and the baby kitten. The baby monkey is obliged to hold its mother by itself. The mother monkey doesn't bother. When it jumps from one branch to the other, the entire onus is upon the baby. Better hold on or you will fall. And once I was sitting in the veranda of a house in Katak, Odisha, and a group of monkeys was going by. And one baby monkey fell down. It did not hold on strongly enough. So the mother monkey looked at the baby and left it and went off. It was your responsibility. You have failed. It's your problem. On the other hand, the kitten is so tiny, so delicate. You see the little kitten? But when the mother wishes to go from one place to the other, it with such delicacy holds the kitten from behind the neck like this, lifts it up and then carries it. Likewise, on the path of jnana, you are on your own. And on the path of bhakti, the grace of God is getting added to your efforts. So he illumines you from inside. That is why he says in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 10, he says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. Arjun, declare it boldly that my devotee shall never perish. The rest of the Gita, he is declaring himself. But now he says, Arjun, you declare it. Why? Because sometimes Krishna breaks his promise. When he said, I will not lift weapons in Mahabharata, and Bhishma said, you will have to lift weapons. Krishna broke his promise to keep the promise of his devotee. So he says, Arjun, if you promise, then I will ensure that it's never broken. My devotee will never perish. How? By virtue of my grace.